Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
This show's a daily contest to see who's dumber.
You ain't got no class like me, man. I'm an aristocrat.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
They're not like us. They're not like us. They're not like us.
This isn't the Oprah Winfrey Show. My feelings don't matter.
Mark Hockman.
I have this fantasy of becoming obese and bedridden and having people bring me food.
What's your favorite pasta? The gabagool?
Channing Crowder.
I just got an insufficient funds text. I might not be able to buy no beer tonight. I lost my virginity watching Bill dance.
Google me, bro.
Alejandro Solana.
So Billy the Marlin isn't a bird? I'm basically a professional kayaker.
Sports.
I used to hang out with Chris Volstead.
Okay.
I would just like to confirm I am wearing underwear today.
You know what else is great all the time? Doesn't matter what the scenario. Bagpipes.
Finish your damn string cheese.
Chimichurri.
More sports.
Come on, repeat after me.
Here comes the Blackfoot.
The most sports.
Jimmy, you've never had an injury?
No. I stretched.
The Hockman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
Here we go on a Wednesday. Little Red Hot Chili Peppers open up the show. I always get a feeling that when the show opens with Red Hot Chili Peppers, even though Jimmy selects the music, I always get the feeling that Solana had an argument with his fiance, because Solana's fiance, her favorite artist is Red Hot Chili Peppers. And so when the show opens with it, artist. I always feel like, what's that?
They're a band.
They're artists.
Right, but you wouldn't say my favorite artist is the Beatles. You'd say my favorite band is the Beatles.
No, not necessarily certain on that.
Okay.
Oh, it's plural.
Anywho, I always feel like if Red Hot Chili Peppers opens the show, that means Solana did something wrong. And so he asks Jimmy, hey, can you play Red Hot Chili Peppers? Because it's kind of like a peace offering to his fiance.
Yeah. No, you know, if you ever noticed, since he bought that house, things have changed.
He's on edge all the time.
At all times.
Like,
yep.
All the time. It is so noticeable. Yeah. I haven't brought it up with him, and he's going to deny it, and he's going to say, what are you talking about? Am I lying, Crowder? Since he bought that house, he is just noticeably on edge all day, every day.
It's 9 out of 10. He's just waiting to blow up at all times. Because, because he had to be a grown-up now.
Got to walk on eggshells around him because he's just so tightly wound since you bought the house. So what's going on, Solana? Will you acknowledge that or you're going to deny it?
No, I think it's funny. The Heat win a game, kind of goes against your narrative about how the Heat need Jimmy Butler, and you're going to, instead of coming on here and giving Nico Jovic his flowers.
Hold on. That's my narrative? Your narrative is what? The Heat don't need Jimmy Butler?
I mean, instead of coming on here and giving Nico Jovic his flowers, you guys laughed off the notion of Bam Adebayo scoring, you know, a good amount of points yesterday, and instead of celebrating a Heat victory,
a big time
doing a lot of work in that sentence.
Did you see the text last night? It was like 12:40. I get to Newark, my flight's delayed. They changed the gate 3 times. I end up getting home at like 12:30. I get in my car, turn on 560. The first thing I hear is Solana's acting like Nico Jovic is the new Steph Curry. It's just really amazing. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I didn't sleep well on the plane. oh, this guy, oh my goodness. Just the shots he hit at the perfect times. All he needed was a chance. I was like, good Lord, Jovich.
No. The Heat did find their magic dust last night. Mm. That's a game that I did not expect them to win. They were almost double-digit underdogs going into that game. But I will tell you, I can never root for Terry Rozier as long as he is in a Heat uniform. So I had a parlay last night. And by the way, remind me to talk about Zion Williamson later, because the dude is in shape, and guy is going to tear up the NBA. He started last night, and he is going to tear up the NBA. He looks like a new rejuvenated artist out there.
Mm-hmm. Until he tears up his hamstring like he's going to do in 8 games.
Nope.
Yes, Hawk, yes.
But anyway,
you don't follow trends, do you? You just look at one game. Man dunks on somebody, catches an alley-oop.
No. Man dunks on somebody. Did you see the steal at midcourt and then what he did to that basketball when he got down to the basket? Like, that dude, I don't know how many games he's missed already. I don't know if he's even eligible for any of the postseason awards. I believe somehow they find a way he wins MVP. It's going to be impossible to keep it away from him based on the way he looked last night.
Because when he fast breaks, they yell Skittles, and he gets excited.
Last night, I had a parlay. LeBron double-double parlayed with Bam Adebayo double-double. LeBron gets his 10th rebound right at the end of the game, hits the double-double. Now I just need Bam to get the double-double. Gets his 10 points, no problem. I think he started the second half with 6 boards, either 5 or 6 boards. Anyway, it's the end of the game. He's got 9 boards. I need 1 rebound. The last shot of the game from Golden State misses. Bam has the ball in his hands, and Terry Rozier rips it out and gets the rebound.
Yeah.
And Bam yells at him, Terry. He knew that he was going to have a double-double.
Yeah.
And it cost me a significant amount of money. So I can never root for Terry Rozier. Listen, it ain't going to be a problem not rooting for Terry Rozier, because I'm not sure what he's doing out there other than stealing rebounds from Bam Adebayo. But man, was I pissed. I stayed up late for that. Terry Rozier to steal my parlay.
Terry's trying to keep his numbers up.
His number up.
Trying to keep his numbers up. Bam was pissed. Bam didn't even run back down on offense.
He was pissed. What's crazy is
he was hot.
The Heat had a double-digit lead. Steve Kerr calls timeout. There's like 2 minutes to go in the game. They pull the starters. Curry goes to the bench. And then a bunch of other guys that I can't believe this is the team that Steph Curry has to go out and play with every single night. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But they keep Bam in the game. Like, Bam's out there with Keyshawn Johnson and Josh Christopher.
Why they kept him in the game. It was so obvious why they kept him in the game.
To get 1 rebound. Yeah. And he had it. And Terry Rozier took it from him.
Unbelievable. Parlay. Just stole a parlay. Like, there, I got to ask Pizzola when he comes on later today. Is there somewhere I can appeal? Is there a court of bookmaking that I can appeal to? Because I kept, for about an hour after the game, I kept checking the Hard Rock app, thinking that maybe the official scorer would have mercy on Bam and just give him the 10th board there. But it did not happen. It was for naught.
They should have told Terry what the plan was. Terry didn't know what was going on.
I guarantee you they all knew Bam was 1 board away from a double-double. I guarantee you they all know that. There's a guy on the bench who tells them all. Like, it's that was infuriating. That to me is the punctuation on Terry Rozier being here with the Miami Heat. Would they trade for him? They trade someone for him, Solana?
Terry Rozier. Remember, they traded away Kyle Lowry and a first-round pick in return for Terry Rozier.
All right. Well, then
first
I still like
first-round pick?
Yeah, first-round pick for Terry.
Terry in this.
Kyle Lowry. So.
Man, put Terry in this Jimmy trade. We'll find something else.
Is Kyle Lowry still playing in Philly?
Yeah.
Like, does he get minutes?
Yeah, he does.
Does he score points?
Nope.
Okay, because he didn't hear. Remember, game we were betting like Kyle Lowry under four?
His game hadn't changed.
Did they play? Let me see if the Sixers
play. He didn't play in their most recent game. I think it was against the Suns. They lost to Phoenix. But, yeah, he's averaging, I don't know, like 18 to 25 minutes per game.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 18 to 25 points.
You know he's a 3-2-2 guy.
No props for Kyle Lowry tonight just yet. Caleb Martin, 12.5. Everybody's interested, looking for something to do. Anyway, we're going to talk with Zach Gelb today from the Infinity Sports Network. Rob Pizzola, the professional sports gambler from the great 51st state of Canada. He will be joining us around 4 o'clock today, so we have a lot of stuff to get to on the show. Let's begin with headlines at Alejandro Solana. It's brought to you by Doral Hyundai. At Doral Hyundai, choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory, like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. And remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
The Miami Heat do get their breakthrough yesterday. Big-time bounce-back victory over the Golden State Warriors. So now they're 500, 1-1 on this six-game road trip. They're back in Utah tomorrow. Remember what happened the last time they played Utah
payback
last week?
Game. Yeah, payback.
Yeah.
They got ran off the court. That's not going to happen again.
Tell him about Sensabaugh, Solana. I was listening last night.
Yeah, Bryce Sensabaugh lit up the Heat. Then he goes to Orlando, 27 points. Did you guys see, though? No joke. Did you see what happened last night with Utah and Atlanta, Trae Young's game winner?
Yeah, it was great. It was great. There's a great video going around on social media. It's like the upper bowl, and they're celebrating Utah's game winner. And so it's all the fans, and they're going crazy, and then just got out of the corner of their eye because there's 2 seconds left. You know, they're just looking at Trae spot up from beyond half court. And then it just obviously the mood in the upper bowl goes from elation to complete dejection in a half a second.
It was Bryce Sensabaugh who tied the game for Utah with a three in the corner. Should have gone to overtime, but Trae Young, who was contested at half court, like that was ridiculous, bro. He had 24 points and 20 assists. Like he's good, man. He's really good.
Someone called him the most underrated player in the NBA right now. But that really for me is Zion. Two guys that you dismiss over and over again, Trae Young and Zion Williamson.
I don't dismiss Trae.
The NBA last night.
I don't dismiss Trae. I dismiss Zion.
You dismiss. Plenty.
I dismiss Trae's hair because it looks like a dirty tennis
ball. No, you talk about
Trae
being a three on a team.
Oh, he's not a one.
Well, he's not a third option.
He's okay.
You're doing it again. You're doing it again.
Looter in a riot.
Yeah. Hardly a riot last night. Miracle victory.
Zion Williamson.
Did you see him last night?
He dunked twice.
Did you physically see him, though?
Did I walk up to him and hug him? No, but I watched him.
I sent Crowder last night Zion's dunk and Cooper Flagg's dunk. And Crowder's hot take is he'd rather have Cooper Flagg.
100%. 1,000.
I'm riding with Zion rest of this season. Pelicans play tonight. Second night of a back-to-back. Oh, he's good for 2 minutes.
You want to bring Zion down here.
Oh, if anyone would benefit from the magic dust, it is Zion Williamson.
No, he's going to benefit from cheetahs and tootsies.
Well, they do.
All these great restaurants.
New Orleans has a back-to-back tonight. Oh, this is going to be interesting.
Who do they play?
Portland, but there are no Pelican props right now. So I guess a whole bunch of people are questionable, and I would imagine Zion would be on that list.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to rush him back.
Rush him? Played basketball in 9 months.
By the way, Timberwolves beat the Pelicans 104-97 last night.
Zion did his part, though.
Right.
He dunked twice.
That's not true. He had a great game last night.
Look, chubby bastard.
He's not chubby anymore either. Can't say that.
Great shape. Trim,
he
fit.
He looked like he was in trim. Great shape. He looked like, yes.
Trim and fit.
I mean, his body type is never going to be trim.
Body type. He was born with a layer
points,
of fat.
6 rebounds, 4 assists, 9 of 15 shooting, 0 of 2 from 3. We told you he was going to jack up a couple of threes.
Yeah, y'all did.
27 minutes. He was a plus 8 out there. That's the highest plus minus on anyone on New Orleans last night.
In 10
years. Go ahead
years,
and hate all you want.
In 10 years, we'll talk about him as the guy that tore his shoe up in college. There'll be nothing else to
talk about
of.
His plus minus.
What about the PER, Solana? What's his PER?
All right. I know we're basketball
if
heavy.
DeJounte Murray could hit a shot. Maybe New Orleans could have hung with Minnesota.
Can't wait for Zion to be on the pivot in like a year, Hawk. Because
he is going to fawn all over him.
Big dog.
What up, big dog?
You are so misunderstood, man. Nobody grinds the way you grind.
Why you was messing with that? Boy, you was messing with that porn lady, man.
Man, those shoe people did you wrong. Your feet are fine.
You want a sandwich?
Oh my goodness! Tyler Van Dyke is back in the ACC. He transferred to SMU.
No,
transferred to SMU.
Yes, he did.
How many years does Tyler Van Dyke have left to play?
I thought you were still talking about Zion until you said Tyler Van Dyke.
He's 27.
Yeah, but he tore his ACL last year. I think only like 3 games of the season, right? Was that last year in Wisconsin? So
yeah,
he didn't actually play. Like, he gets another year of eligibility.
Medical red shirt.
Yeah. You guys saw what LeBron did last night? The dunk that he had that was going viral?
I mean, come on. That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
For someone his age, like that. I mean, that's unbelievable. Because even MJ in the later years could not get up that way.
But for someone his age, that was impressive no matter what age you are.
Yeah, you're right.
To change the ball in the air.
That was badass.
And windmill.
Badass.
Like, that was a dunk contest dunk with a human in front of him in game time. That was impressive.
Not impressive, though. LeBron James and Anthony Davis both playing last night, and the Lakers losing by double digits to a Mavericks team without Luka Doncic and without Kyrie Irving. You guys would never guess. You would never in a million years guess who led the Dallas Mavericks in scoring last night.
Klay.
Tim Hardaway Jr.
Does he play for him?
Nope.
Klay's there, right? Isn't Klay? Klay went to Dallas.
Klay had 13 points.
Damn.
Klay looks old. Quentin Grimes led the Dallas Mavericks in scoring last night with 23 points. Former Nick and your boy Spencer Dinwiddie. Your boy Spencer Dinwiddie had 19.
Spencer Dinwiddie lost me so much money one time. I don't even like hearing his name.
The Heat are back at it.
That's a deal when he lost me like $600.
The Heat are back at it tomorrow. They're on the road in Utah. Tonight, the Panthers are in Utah.
Somebody just texted in. They said, Hawk, I'm going to the Panthers Utah Hockey Club game tonight. Give me an assignment, food or otherwise. I'll try to get it done. Do we know anything about this Utah Hockey Club arena? Like,
nothing.
Is it in Utah?
I don't know.
Probably should be. What is Utah known for food-wise?
That's a great question. I think that's one of the few cities that does not have a signature food item. They're known for Mormonism. I'm not kidding you. Utah is a state, of course. I'm talking about Salt Lake City. But Salt Lake City, does that have a Like, pretty much, I can name you, you know, in any city. Talk about Heat Warriors last night, San Francisco, Ghirardelli Chocolates, that's based in San Francisco. Like, you can always come up with something. Is there anything from Salt Lake City that's noteworthy?
I Googled, what food is Utah known for? And right hand to God, the first thing that pops up, funeral potatoes.
Well, now that sounds delicious.
The food most associated with Mormons is green Jell-O.
Is that so? Is that for real?
I just looked it up.
Well, I got to think about converting because I do like a bowl of green Jell-O every now and then. Well, so what is your say, Solana? What's funeral potatoes?
Funeral potatoes, a casserole dish made with potatoes, cream, and crushed cornflakes. It's a classic Utah comfort food that's often prepared for bereaved families after a funeral.
A special dish for funerals. Never
potatoes, like potatoes and cereal.
But the weird thing is, like, imagine you really like funeral potatoes. It's really a double-edged sword because you've got to wait for someone you love to die before you get them again.
Yeah.
Unk looking bad, boy. Yeah, Jack.
Unk's not looking good. Come on, you hit the Piggly Wiggly today.
Don't forget the cornflakes.
You know you're in trouble if you see cornflakes in your pantry.
Oh, how you feeling?
Why'd mom come home with all the potatoes and cornflakes?
That sounds nasty.
Yeah, it really doesn't. It doesn't sound appealing at all, right? Potato, cheese,
with a little bit of crunch,
cream, and cornflakes.
Doesn't sound bad.
The cornflakes are going to mushy up when they hit the potatoes and the cream.
Oh, that's a good point. I was thinking of it as more like a crust.
Oh, like the top, like a panko.
Exactly. No joke. Exactly what I was kind of envisioning.
I've seen that on like macaroni and cheese. They'll throw a little like crushed cereal on top to just give it a crunch.
Let me see if there's an image search. Funeral potatoes. That's funny, man. I typed funeral, and the first thing that came up was funeral potatoes. Like, it filled in on Google. Wow. I've never heard this.
This has to be the only death food in the world.
Mormon funeral potatoes.
Death food?
The website is morticianinthekitchen.com.
No.
Wait.
I swear to God.
Well, Unks embalmed. Pass me the cornflake. Come on, man. That's ridiculous.
Mom, I was looking at your search history. Why are you on morticianinthekitchen.com so much? I think you need to tell me about Dad. All right, let's wrap up headlines because I won't have enough time with Zach Gelb. Fascinating little detour we've stumbled upon here.
Death and food.
Wow.
This is a whole
Because you go to like a Jewish funeral, if you go to Sit Shiva, there's going to be lox and bagels. But if you go to a Jewish celebration, there's going to be lox and bagels. They're not a specific funeral item that you only get at funerals.
I'm reading it now. It says round foods like eggs, lentils, bagels are served during mourning periods because they're the shape of circles and it represents the circle of life.
Oh, interesting. I did not know that. I got to remind myself to no longer bring Wendy's hamburgers to these shivas because those are square.
No, people have certain foods for death. This is crazy.
Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. All that to say, Panthers are in Utah tonight, 9 p.m. Puck drop. 10 p.m. puck drop against the Utah Hockey Club. Heater there tomorrow, 9 p.m. tip-off. Canes play FSU today as well. Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7. It is freezing outside. I mean, rigid temperatures in South Florida today. I hope everybody is staying warm.
Go sign.
That's your weather.
All right, Zach Gelb from the Infinity Sports Network is going to join us next.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Why not take all the garbage on Earth, drop it into volcanoes?
Hawk and Crowder.
All right, we're going to talk with Zach Gelb here. He's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, and at toyotaofhollywood.com. Zach Gelb hosts afternoons nationally on the Infinity Sports Network, and he comes to us live from the WFAN studios in New York City. Crowder was in New York City yesterday, did the show from New York City. He was taping some Pivot interviews in the morning, and Solana and I were saying to him, because when the show was wrapping up yesterday, Solana was like, hey, you're going to go see a Broadway show? You're going to go juniors, get a little cheesecake. And Crowder was saying, no, I'm going right to the airport. The best part of New York is JFK or LaGuardia, because you know you're getting out of New York.
I got to go, Gelb.
It was cold yesterday, man.
It was 20 degrees. The people don't talk to you. The old women cuss you out. I got to get out of New York, Gelb.
Do you go see Broadway shows, Gelb? I think that would be one of the great benefits of living in New York City.
On my own, no. With other people, if obligations require me to go see, so then yes, I love
obligation.
Broadway
shows. You don't look through Broadway.com and then say, oh, so and so, do you want to go see this show with me? That it just doesn't do anything for you.
No, let someone else suggest that, and then you know, usually I have to end up paying for it and end up going. Now, Crowder, could we just come clean here? Crowder didn't go right to the airport yesterday. We had a meeting at a very fine restaurant where I told Channing Crowder, I'm requesting a trade off of this weekly spot, just like how Jimmy Butler wants out of Miami and Tyreek Hill wants out of Miami as well. So Crowder lied to you. I told him yesterday, I'm done with the
Hawk. You even had
Crowder
the courtesy
show
to have a meeting with him. You didn't just you didn't just let everyone know via Twitter.
Yes, I admire Channing Crowder that much. When I want to pivot, I at least sit down with him and tell him, hey, this is it.
But Jimmy's going to do that anyway. You know what? New York doesn't have any good strip clubs either. I've noticed that going up there as much. There's nothing in New York.
There are clubs like that that you could go to, but as good as Miami? No, absolutely not.
Yeah, they're terrible. And then the girls, I don't know what they're on. They look all weird. I can't be in this.
Now, I should bite my lip before I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know, if you're looking for that, Channing, maybe we all just end up getting employed by FS1, because it seems like that's the type of environment there these days.
Stop it. Stop it. How dare you.
Let's go back to Jimmy Butler. My bad.
This is like a Chamber of Commerce ad for New York City somehow.
I should do stand-up. Channing does stand-up. Maybe I'll open up for him. I'd be pretty good.
Now, I brought this up on the show yesterday.
This is going to be a awkward transition, let me tell you.
Well, your graphic on your video there says Zach Gelb was right on the Dolphins. Hawk wasn't, but I disagree with that. But regardless, you and I told Crowder and Solana yesterday on the show, you and I were texting in the morning. And one of the things you texted me was, is there a coach in the NFL who's still with their team whose stock dropped more than Mike McDaniel this season? And we talked a little bit about it on the air yesterday, but I'm guessing by you texting me that yesterday, that is your take. Your takeaway from the Dolphin season, if you had to have one, is what? That Mike McDaniel is not the guy we thought he was two seasons ago?
Yeah, because without Tua Tagovailoa, he looked absolutely lost. And it's one thing, right, when your quarterback gets hurt, and I'm not expecting them to be a sensational team when the quarterback does get hurt, but when you factor that, and also to the way that that locker room was run this year and how Tyreek Hill, by the way, is a captain. You know, I get it. He's one of the best players in the NFL. He wasn't one of the best players this year in the NFL. But how that guy is a captain is a big-time problem for me. McDaniel, unfortunately, appears like a coach who is a player's coach, which I'm fine with if you're a player's coach in the year of now 2025, but you can't be a doormat. And it feels as if he's a doormat in that locker room that the players walk all over.
And Gabby, to that point with McDaniel, because we've had this conversation for a couple of days now after the loss, you know, to get the hell beat out of him by the terrible Jets. And it's like, to your point, McDaniel didn't know what to do when Tua got hurt. But also Chris Greer not addressing the backup quarterback. And there's like, so it's back and forth. My thing is Tua is a top 10. I think we got the top 12, Solana's point. But like, he is a good quarterback. If you had to move on from a piece, would it be the GM or would it be the head coach?
Can I just say both? But if you only make me pick one, it's Chris Greer because he's been there a lot longer than Mike McDaniel has. And Chris Greer, I'll just ask the question. What photos does he have of Stephen Ross? How does this guy continue to keep his job year after year
I'm telling you, I don't think you're really looking at the free agent acquisitions that he's made and the draft choices that he's made. He's not batting 1,000. I'm not suggesting that he is. But to go out in free agency and get Tyreek Hill and get Jalen Ramsey and get Calais Campbell and draft guys like Devon Achane, Chop Robinson had a good season. Like
Jalen Phillips, Jalen Waddle.
Like it's not, you know, when I think of failed GMs, I think of absolute disasters.
Okay. But what are you trying to be?
He's been that.
My question is, what are you trying to be? Because if you're trying to be a Super Bowl champion, which if I'm a fan, that's what I want my team to be, a Super Bowl champion, then I don't think he's equipped to do so. He's very similar to the GM Chris Ballard in Indianapolis. Like, you look at the record, it's a very mediocre record. There's not a lot of accomplishments on it. Okay, you make the playoffs here and there, but you never feel as if you have a contending Super Bowl team. So if it's just to be, you make the playoffs, you know, back-to-back years, and then you go 8 wins, and you vacillate anywhere from 8 to 11 wins in that range, then okay, you keep a Chris Greer. But if you just want to be mediocre, if you just want to be good, if you just want to be fine, you keep him. But if you want to be great, there's got to be better options out there because this guy doesn't show me any ability to be great.
But Crowder's point after the game on Sunday was, hey, you know what? If we are giving you really good pieces, and I don't think you could argue with a lot of the talent that they had on the roster. Injuries are injuries. That doesn't have anything to do with Mike McDaniel or Chris Greer.
If yeah.
Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb are missing terrible from your defense. That's, I mean, you can't, you know, you can't change that.
And they still ended up top five.
And they did. Statistically, they were a top five defense. Statistically, you're going to poo-poo it. I can see.
No. I'm laughing because of this. All year long, we have talked about what's going to happen at the end of the season with the Dolphins if they don't make the playoffs. And it's just funny to me because for most of the season, I said, in all likelihood, nothing. Like, in all likelihood, Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel are going to be back. And now when I'm saying, oh, one of them has to go, I'm laughing because now it's, oh, you guys want to change all throughout the year. And now I'm saying, hey, change it. And now it's up. No, you can't get rid of these guys. That's why I'm laughing.
I will tell you the poll that we've had on this show, Crowder and Solana are proponents of change. Yeah. I am a proponent. I call them the big three. Not that they're a big three in talent, but they're the three most prominent pieces of the Dolphins. Tua, Chris Greer, Mike McDaniel. I'm a proponent, and maybe the only guy in Miami, I'm a proponent of keeping them together and running it back as is. I think they're closer to a Super Bowl, sounds ridiculous, than they are to being a cellar dweller.
Okay.
So let me ask you this.
What do you think is the biggest indictment on them? Like, what's your biggest problem? Because I think my answer may be intriguing to you guys. What do you think the biggest problem is with this regime?
I think they whiffed on the backup quarterback spot. I really believe had that been addressed better, they wouldn't have had to beat the Jets at the last game of the season. They wouldn't have had the season come down to the final couple of games and need other teams to help you out. I think they'd have been a lock for a playoff team. Would they have done anything in the playoffs? Solana will tell you absolutely not, because he doesn't believe that they're good enough to beat a good team in the NFL. But I will tell you, the stuff we're discussing about have they gone backwards because they made the playoffs two seasons under McDaniel, now they don't. I believe, again, even with the injuries that they had to deal with all season, had they had a quality backup for the six games that Tua missed, but really the four games at the beginning of the season that he missed, I think they're a lock for a playoff team.
So it's a fair point, and you addressed it specifically. You know, from afar, when I look at it, the Bills are the standard in the AFC East. And I think this is the part that's the biggest thing that's lost in the Dolphins season. Before Tua got hurt, the Miami Dolphins were getting smacked in that game by the Buffalo Bills. And my biggest problem is, I'm not saying you have to usurp the Buffalo Bills, because the Bills have a top three quarterback in Josh Allen, and you could take away a lot of his talent this year, and he still finds a way to play lights out and be one of the better teams in the NFL, because that's what happens when you actually have an elite quarterback. My problem is they've really done nothing as that second team, right? The Dolphins are the second team in the AFC to close that gap, to make you think that they're close to taking down the Bills in a big spot when it matters. And that now goes back the last two seasons when they should have won the division 2 years ago. And then this year before Tua got hurt, they were getting just destroyed in that game.
And Gil, speaking of that, because like you said, I thought of it when you said from the outside looking in, because you're in New York, you do national radio.
Yeah.
I think the head coach kind of sets the culture, if you want to put the word on it, mm-hmm. for the team. How do people look at the Dolphins? Because they're not a – like Dan Campbell, Detroit Lions are ass kickers. We're not ass kickers down here. We're graceful. We run outside. We're supposed to be a track meet. We're a speed team. All that stuff. But are we looked at as soft is a tough word in sports, but how are the Dolphins looked at with McDaniel at the helm?
I would say the Dolphins right now are – a nice sports car. Like you see them from a few blocks away, you go, oh, that's a nice car in the driveway. And then as you continue your walk in the neighborhood and you get closer and closer and closer, you go, okay, that's a nice sports car, but one of the tires are busted. There's a crack in the windshield. And I hear that the check engine light is on. Like from afar, looks good. And right, you know, maybe with all those problems, you could still find a way to get from point A to point B. But if I tell you, okay, you got to drive more than just down the block, you know, to go get the car refilled at the gas station. You got to drive to a different state. I don't trust that they're going to get there. And what I'm saying by that and what I mean by that is from the outside, it looks good, right? There's some teams that would love to be in the spot that the Miami Dolphins are in. But if you think that just because you have a sports car, it's a great car, that's where the disconnect is with the Dolphins. They're a fine team. They're a good team, but they're nowhere close to being one of the more feared teams in the league and one of the great teams in the league. And you know, they brought in some talent, and that talent is getting older. Now they've, to Hawk's point, have got some younger talent in the draft. But I they went in, and you're not going to see these results that you expect from teams that go, for the most part, pretty much all in.
I lean closer to your opinion, Gelb, but who is in the better position outside of Buffalo? They have Josh Allen, like you mentioned. Who is in the better position for the future? Is it the Miami Dolphins? Is it the New England Patriots having the fourth overall selection and a young, exciting rookie quarterback? Or is it the New York Jets? I don't know how you could build a case for it, but maybe you can.
The Jets, after this year, I don't think there's a case to be made. Because even if they bring Rodgers back, you know, at best, we're talking about them maybe trying to do what the Dolphins have done the last few years. Like, you make a wild card spot, and then you probably lose in the first round, and we see if you could win a game. I'm intrigued by the Patriots, especially if they hire Mike Vrabel, which everyone thinks they're going to do, because Vrabel did more with less in Tennessee. And I'm not sitting here today saying 1,000% Drake May is the guy. But, you know, I don't care what the stats say on Drake May this year. He had a god-awful offensive line, maybe one of the worst offensive lines I've ever seen. And they don't have, like, hey, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, I get it. It's a phenomenal 1-2 punch. The Patriots have nowhere close to a number one or a number two wide receiver right now. So I do think there is superstar potential with Drake May. So yes, the Dolphins are in the two spot, but if there's a team in the next 2 years that could usurp them in the two spot, I do look as the Patriots, because of the fact that they're probably going to have Vrabel and they look like they have a really damn good quarterback in Drake May.
And Gelby, what about the Jets, the head coach? We talked about this a couple days ago too. I think Rex Ryan should be the guy. I think he's been in New York. The last time they had success was with Mark Terrible Sanchez going to AFC championship games. The Ben Johnson thing and all these young guys, I don't know if they have this veteran team and can do it. I'm a Rex Ryan guy. I like him. You think Rex is the right guy for this, or you think they should go do a Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn or one of those guys?
Well, Ben Johnson's not going to be interested in the Jets. Mike Vrabel, he used the Jets to basically tell the Patriots, let's get this thing going and get Gerard Mayo out. So I'm assuming they can't get Ben Johnson. I'm assuming they won't get Mike Vrabel. Now, if the Patriots maybe get Ben Johnson instead, then Vrabel, I do think, would go to the Jets. But if you take those two off the table, I think they're looking – I know what I'm going to say is about to contradict myself. I know they're looking for experience. I think they're placing a value on experience. Your case, I'm fine with Rex Ryan because you know he wants the job and you know he's passionate and you know he wants to be there. And he does have clout in the Jet fan base because he got to back-to-back AFC championship games. But I just have a feeling the Jets, they're going to hire Aaron Glenn, and you know, who played for the team, has been an assistant now for a long time. His defense was a shining star with not the greatest talent in the world with all the injuries that they've had in that Sunday night football game to conclude week 18. I would not be disappointed if it's Rex Ryan, but I just feel as if it's going to be Aaron Glenn.
Zach Gelb from the WFAN studios in New York City from Infinity Sports Network. On the way out, have you seen enough, as I have, to declare Zion Williamson top three player in the NBA right now based off of last night?
Let's see if he could even get through three games this season. How about we start with that?
They have a game tonight.
You know what? He could be employed by FS1 with some of the rumors that I hear about him.
He won't be doubtful on that playlist.
I will say, I've been really much enjoying all this content about this. You know, when we have you have all these coaches getting fired, and my feed was just FS1 and coaches getting fired or coaches being brought back.
It's literally nonstop on my feed. That my entire feed is consumed with it.
And then Jason Whitlock comments about this too.
Didn't even know he still had something. I didn't know he had a platform.
I don't even know if he knew that either.
It's funny, though. It, no matter how salacious it is, he's
basically begging.
He's still thinking about peanut butter.
Look at me. Just make it like he went after Portnoy, and Portnoy goes, you know what? I think Portnoy said, I have a death pool, and I'm surprised to hear that you're still alive. Yeah, so at least that's something
still
good.
Alive? I guess I lost the death pool. All right, we'll see you, Gelby.
You got it, guys. Be well.
Zach Gelb from the Infinity Sports Network in New York City, based in New York City. We got to take a break here, and we'll come back with a little bit more. Hockman and Crowder.
This is the Hock and Crowder Show.
What is life if you can't have arroz con pollo?
Hock and Crowder.